الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فتبسم ضاحكا من قولها وقال تعالى: عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as human beings in such a way that we live as part of a community, as part of a society, as part of a brotherhood, that we all live together. And for this communal life, this community life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain directives. We have not been left orphans in need of Western ideologies. Every aspect of our deen has been taken care of. Allah has given us guidelines for every aspect of our life and how to live with one another in a harmonious, in a way that would be beneficial and enjoyable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Man laqiya akhahu bima yuhibbu Allah liyasurrahu sarrahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever meets his fellow Muslim brother in such a way that it would be pleasing for the Muslim brother to meet the fellow Muslim brother, you meet him however it is, but your intention is to make that person happy, Allah will make you happy on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will make you happy on the day of Qiyamah. And what is happiness on the day of Qiyamah? Success, which is Jannah ultimately. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, "Innakum lan tasa'una an-nasa bi amwalikum." You will never be able to accommodate and benefit everyone with your wealth, because this wealthy, this poor, you won't be able to give everyone. Walakin yasa'uhum. But what you will be able to do is reach people with your good character, وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ, your good character and your pleasant countenance. That is how you will be able to reach different people in your community. And the place where there is the manifestation of the character and the expressions is the face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted man the highest position. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah has made man as the epitome of his creation, the highest being. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made man's face the center point of his beauty and for all his interactions and his existence on this, in this world. And therefore, the face plays such an important role. On one occasion, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to the Sahaba, in fact he was speaking to some of the leaders amongst the Quraysh, some of the seniors who had not accepted Islam. And whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing them and speaking about matters of belief, and this was something that was rarely afforded to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quraysh never want to hear the word of Allah. They were not interested at all. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this opportunity at once, and he was with great dedication and great concentration speaking to them and addressing them. And then at that very moment, a Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhum by the name of Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he came bursting into the gathering and bursting into the circle where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to the Sahaba. And he said, "Allimni ya Rasulullah mimma allamaka Allah." O Nabi of Allah, teach me from that which Allah has taught you. And he was insisting or requesting immediate attention. And at this very moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the opportunity to speak to these leaders who rarely came to the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to speak to them about aqeedah, about belief in Allah, hoping that they would accept Islam and hoping to seize the opportunity and to make the most of the opportunity. And here there was a sahabi who was blind, was unable to gauge exactly what was happening. So he came there and he was now demanding instant attention, saying, "O Nabi of Allah, teach me from that which Allah has taught you." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased at his request, and thinking that there's lots of time afterwards where we can teach him. He's a devoted believer. He's here all the time. When we have the opportunity, we'll teach him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned away. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned away and he frowned that the blind man came to him and asked him. It was when this gathering had completed that verses were immediately revealed, which rebuked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that why did you frown at the Sahabi and turn away? You ought to have given him preference over these that have no interest in deen. There are numerous lessons that come out of this. And one particular point that we could just take is that if there was any doubt with regards to the Quran, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would never have brought those verses or presented those verses which he is being rebuked in it. Abasa wa tawalla, that the Nabi frowned and turned away. Yet he conveyed that to us. So there's no doubt in the Quran. But the point is that the facial expression of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is captured in the Quran. And it is there for eternity, for us to reflect about it, for us to ponder about it. And this was a negative one in a sense. And then the other hand, when Sulaiman a.s. was moving with his army, and there was an army of ants that were on the ground, they were busy building their home. And one of the ants seen Sulaiman a.s. coming, and he said to the other ants that move quickly out of the way, lest Sulaiman a.s. and his army may trample you while they are unaware. And Sulaiman a.s., Allah Ta'ala had granted him that bounty where he could understand the language of the animals. So he heard this and it amused him, and فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا. He smiled at the statement of the ant. He was amused by it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captured that entire incident and even this facial expression of Sulaiman alayhi salam in the verses of the Noble Quran. So the facial expression, it has a very important role. And if we look in the Akhirah, Allah ta'ala says, وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٍ إلى ربها ناظرة وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة. Allah Ta'ala says there will be faces on that day will be radiant, they will be glowing, they will be shining, and there will be those faces that will be fresh, and then there will be those وجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة. And there will be those that will be dark, and they will be gloomy, and they will be filled with dust, and those are the people of Jahannam. So the face has an important role in our lives and what emanates from it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said every morning when a person wakes up, it is necessary for him to give sadaqah. And the Sahaba who were impoverished at the time said, how is it possible for us to give sadaqah all the time? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said, explained that you enjoining good, forbidding evil, guiding a lost person, giving a helping hand, guiding a person who's blind, removing an obstacle from the path, this is all acts of sadaqah. And then he said, watabassumuka, and your smiling at the face of your Muslim brother is also an act of sadaqah. The smiling at the face of your Muslim brother is also an act of sadaqah. Not only is it an act of worship, but there are numerous benefits to the smile. They say that there are two powerful tools, silence and the smile. Silence will avoid you from getting in problems, and a smile will take you out of problems. A smile will take you out of a lot of problems. And when you meet someone who's smiling, then naturally you are attracted to that person. The person's face has an attraction to it, has a glow to it. And naturally you like that person, you incline to that person. There is an immediate connection between a person who's smiling and yourself. One person said that if you ask me about one of my colleagues at work, whether he has teeth or not, I won't be lying if I say that I do not know, because he never smiles. He never smiles, so I can't tell you whether he has teeth or not. Some people are like that, they wake up in the morning and they walk around as though they had a dozen lemons for breakfast. Abu San Qamtarira, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the people of Jahannam, that they will be gloomy, straight-faced. That is their disposition. And the people of Jannah, on the other hand, what is their disposition? وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٍ. Radiance, light, smiling, that emanating from them. And the smile has numerous benefits for the person himself. That it is said that if you are perhaps feeling down and your mood is not too good, and perchance someone makes you smile, then the chances are that your mood will lift up. You'll feel much better. And if we look at our own society that we're living in, and under the circumstances that we live, and the conditions that are prevalent these days, we find endless complaints of marital problems. Marriage, which was supposed to be a means of bringing joy and happiness, litaskunu alayha, yet we find that it brings pain and grief and misery. That has changed. And one simple way to make a difference: a smile, not only is it good for you, but it's also contagious. If a husband must come in the house with a smile on his face, and they say the smile is contagious, the wife will automatically start smiling. The children will start smiling. And there will be this harmonious, happy environment in the home, just from that smile. And that's spreading and creating this harmonious society. One small thing: لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not underestimate any action, even if it means meeting your fellow Muslim brother with a smile. And that's not all. There's even medical benefits to the smile. It is said that if a person had to measure their blood pressure, and then after that someone genuinely made that person smile, and at that very moment someone else came and measured the person's blood pressure after he smiled, or while he was smiling, you will notice a considerable difference. Try it out and let me know. Also, they say that the immune system is boosted when a person smiles from time and again. Time and again a person is smiling, it creates a stronger immune system by which you will be able to combat flus and all the other viruses that attack the body. And then for those that suffer from headaches and different things, they say the smile, as a person smiles, endorphins, serotonin, natural painkillers are secreted in the body, which then makes the body feel good and also can serve as a natural painkiller. It alleviates a headache. So these are some of the benefits in the physical sense. But that is not why we act on deeds. Well, that's not what should motivate us. What should actually motivate us is that we need to link our smile with the smile of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahumullah, he says that there are certain things that you do in your daily life which are natural to you, intrinsic, and you do them all the time. But that very action, when you link it with the smile of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then there'll be a completely different impact to it. There'll be a completely different effect that will emanate from that. And we need to look at what was the smile of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like. Abdullah bin Umar says that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was joyous, or when he was angry, it was clearly visible on his face. And when he would smile, he would illuminate the room around. That was the brilliance of his smile. Ka'b radiallahu anhu says that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would smile, it was as though the 14th moon was brought down and was in front of us. Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu anhu says that ma hajabani Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never restricted my movements in terms of interacting with him. And whenever he seen me, he always smiled at me. He always smiled at me. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they always thought that they had a special position. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu, Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on an expedition. And he appointed him over this expedition. And when he came back, he thought that this was a special privilege. Maybe I have a special rank by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he asked, O Nabi of Allah, who is most beloved to you? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Aisha. He said, no, I'm talking from the men. He said, her father. He said, and after that? He said, no, Umar. He says, after that I stopped asking because I feared maybe I'll be in the end of the list. But the point is that he asked thinking that I am closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, therefore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed me on that expedition. What prompted the question was that feeling that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treated everyone in such a way. So when Jarir bin Abdullah says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled at me whenever he met me, what does that mean? That whenever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met someone, he always smiled at him. And therefore Abdullah bin Haris says that I've never seen anyone who smiled as much as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would smile. Whenever we would meet him, he was always smiling. At this very moment, we look across the globe, what's happening? There is this effort that is being made to paint Islam as a rigid, as a hard, as a harsh religion. Those that follow it are fanatical. They are terrorists. What else we know? That is the furthest from the reality. The compassion that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, looking in interaction with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, one day at night, we were about to retire to bed. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to me, "Oh Aisha, you shouldn't retire to bed, you shouldn't sleep away until you've done four things. Number one, recited the entire Quran. Number two, you got all the Anbiya al-Islam to intercede on your behalf. Number three, you please all the mu'mineen. And number four, you perform a Hajj and Umrah." And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to salah. And you say, I'm laying in my bed and I'm thinking, how on earth am I going to fulfill this entire Quran, all the Anbiya alayhi salam, then to please all the mu'mineen and to make a Hajj and Umrah before I sleep? This is impossible. And she's laying there and wondering. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam busy with his salah. And then after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes his salam, she then hastens to ask, O Nabi of Allah, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. You said that I should do these four things. How is it possible that I will do these four things? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and said, read Surah Ikhlas three times, and each time you read Surah Ikhlas is like one third of the Quran. So by reading it three times, this is where you'll get the reward of the entire Quran. Send durood and salam upon me and the Anbiya alayhi salam, and when you send durood and salam upon me, then you will get the intercession of myself and all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Say, Allahumma ghfirli walil mu'mineen, Allah forgive me and all the mu'mineen. And the mu'mineen will be pleased with you and say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, and you'll get the reward of your Hajj and Umrah. But the interaction, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and said this to her. And can you imagine what impact it had upon her? And not only did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam display this type of behavior to the Sahaba, they also would share lighter moments with him. When he would smile, they would smile. When they would smile, he would also smile. So Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu says that, I had left Makkatul Mukarramah to make hijrah to Madinatul Munawwarah. And I was stopped outside Makkah by the people who didn't want to let me go to Madinatul Munawwarah. And I stood there and I said, that, look, I have wealth in a particular place. Go there and you can take the wealth and allow me to go. But if you don't want to do that, I have a sword in my hand and I have my arrows. I'll continue firing my arrows at you, and once that is exhausted, I'll take out my sword and continue fighting against you. But rather you go and take the wealth. So they were happy and they allowed him to go on. And they went and took the wealth. When he came to Madinatul Munawwarah, at that time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Masjid al-Quba, just outside Medina at that time. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, upon seeing him, said that, what a profitable deal you made. رَبِحَ الْبَيْ يَا أَبَا يَحْيَا. What a profitable bay. What a profitable business transaction. And he was pleased by this. And then he says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting down at that time and he was eating some dates. And at that very moment, my eye was sore because of some infection. So I came close and I also sat down with them and I started eating dates. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Suhaib, you're eating dates while your eye is sore? Then he responded by saying, O Nabi of Allah, I'm eating from the side which is not sore. I'm eating from the eye that is not sore. So this is a light-hearted exchange between Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba. And on the other hand, the Sahaba also had these exchanges on their side. And this interaction, this was like a balm to the soul of the Sahaba. They were deeply involved in their different activities, the jihad, the ibadat. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would share these moments with them, this would invigorate them. This would lighten them up. This would give them the energy to continue with the activities. So it may seem as a small act, but it is said in the hadith that to make your fellow Muslim brother happy, this is min afdal al-ibadat, amongst the greatest acts of ibadah. Amongst the greatest acts of ibadah, and as a result, it's also mentioned that a person's sins will be forgiven on the day of Qiyamah simply because of making your fellow Muslim brother happy. So, my dear brothers, smile, it's free, it's charity, smile at the right people, and don't forget to brush your teeth and use a miswak.